The First Page of Unconquered Countries by Jeff Reiner. Third Child had nothing to sell but parts of her body. She sold her blood. A young man with a cruel warrior's face, a hooked nose between two plump cheeks, came to her room every 2 weeks. He called himself her agent and told a string of hearty jokes and carried a machine around his neck. He was rather like a pair of bagpipes and it clung to him and whimpered. Third rented her womb for industrial use. She was cheaper than the glass tanks. She grew parts of living machinery inside her. Differentials for trucks, small household appliances. She gave birth to advertisements. Small caricature figures that sang songs. There was no other work for her in the city. The city was called Saprang Song, which meant divine lotus after the Buddha. When Third was lucky, she got a contract for weapons. Pay was good because it was dangerous. The weapons would come gushing suddenly out of her with much loss of blood, usually in the middle of the night. An avalanche of glossy, freckled, dark brown guppies with black soft eyes and bright rodent smiles full of teeth. No matter how ill or exhausted Third felt, she would shovel them immediately into buckets and tie down the lid. If she didn't do that immediately, if she fell asleep, the guppies would eat her. Thrashing in their buckets as she carried them down the steps, the guppies would eat each other. She would have to hurry with them, shuffling as fast as she could under the weight to the neighbours. The neighbours only paid her for the ones that were left alive. It was piecework. The neighbours had coveted the land of Third people for generations. Then the people of the big country, for reasons of their own, had given weapons to the neighbours. Third's nation had called itself Unconquered Country. It had never been colonised. Then the neighbours came and conquered the country. They conquered the south at first, with its cities and city people. The north still fought. Its mobile villages moved into the hills. Third had been a child in a rebel village, hidden in a valley. She lived there until the end of her sixth summer. In the middle of the village, on a wooden pole, there flew the white and yellow flag of the unconquered people. The women had worked the rice, while men kept watch in the hills, with old guns from other wars. The name Third Child had been a spell to make sure that there would be no more children born to her mother and father. The spell worked. A month after Third was born, her father was killed. By a tiger, it was said. There were very few tigers left. They had become beasts of portent. They ate people. Third looked ordinary to herself and others. She loved numbers. Her cousin, who was a man, had a position as an accountant. Third would sit next to him in rapt and silent wonder as yellow stalks clicked back and forth, counting in fan-shaped patterns. Her cousin was charmed that she was interested, sweet and silent as a child should be. He showed her how the yarrow worked. Numbers were portents too. They were used as oracles. This was a practical thing. Rice shoots were counted, yields were predicted, seeds were stored. Numbers spread out in fan-like shapes into the future. Third could read them. She saw yarrow in her mind, ghost yarrow she liked to call them, and they would scurry ahead of the real stalks. They moved too fast for her to follow, flashing, weaving. They leapt the correct answers ahead of her cousin. If anyone asked Third how much rice was in a bowl, she would answer, enough. It was always polite to answer that there was enough rice, even when there wasn't. But if anyone had pressed for more detail, Third could have answered. 600 to 700 grains. The yarrow stalks in her mind would click, telling her how much space 10 grains took, as represented by so many lengths cut into the stalk, and how much space there was in a bowl. The ghost yarrow opened and closed, like a series of waving fans. Beautiful, orderly, true.